And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John, Gospel of the first epistle of John, chapter 3. Don't forget, I think there's a board meeting on Tuesday, I think. Maybe, thank you. Perhaps we can look to the Lord and our God and Father. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you're doing. Here we are. Help us, God. Thanks, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, as we have been doing that of late, in the light of the Gospel of John, and like Gospel of John, so the first epistle of John. So therefore, and we've been talking and looking at the wonderful life God has made possible, a wonderful life to walk in the light and to be able to enjoy all God's wonderful person in a very personal way, in a very dark and difficult world. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, we shared in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, remember there's a fellowship. Verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have a unique relationship to God in fellowship. Fellowship. The word fellowship, union, to share in, to have a, to be participating, to be a participant, a sharer in common. Fellowship, communion, the Lord's table. You got the word. So it's a wonderful fellowship. And when God, and fellowship includes God for believers, it isn't believers without God. No, on the contrary. The believers to have fellowship requires God. You got to have God in the middle of us. That's why we have fellowship with the Father and with God the Son in a most wonderful way. And the result is joy, verse 4. God's wonderful joy, his wonderful excitement, if we can ever use that word, about God. God's wonderful exercise of his delight and being who he is, doing what he does in the way that he does it. So therefore, to walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And therefore, we're to go in the light of life, in the light of light, we're to go. Now, that's a wonderful relationship. It happens the moment you receive the Lord as your Savior, chapter 3. And verse 2, remember, it's an awesome kind of love, a love that's unheard of, God wanting the very best for a human heart that he created. And thus, the relationship, chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So God, we have an awesome, what, relationship, and we're to exercise that relationship as your children in a very personal, intimate, real kind of way. It is ours, and what God, you meant it to happen. So now, having said that, we shared together last time to remind that verse John is written among other reasons, to help us understand, to overcome your old nature that is against what we've just been trying to say. Your old sin nature is 24 hours a day against all that God has in mind. The world system is against all that God has in mind. And the devil is against all that God has in mind. Darkness is against all light. Therefore, we've got to overcome. We've got to overcome because we aren't in heaven where we don't have to do that. We're on earth in hostile territory. It became hostile when God saved us and took the light bulb, as it were, and made it light up in our unique relationship to God. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so in our relationship, what are we to be to enjoy your to be as children? And we share together in chapter 118, etc., that the spirit of Antichrist is there. Antichrist, against Christ. Everything against all that he has made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. Anti-light, against light, against right, against God, against Christ, anti. Against it all. So everything is hostile. So, and we live in that atmosphere. And in the process, they were facing back then, the Greeks, here's the gospel going forth in the air, in the out there. And here are the people that live there in Asia, Greeks and all of that, Jews. And they didn't want to hear the gospel. So therefore the devil goes along and tries to change things. So what? So A, you don't ever believe. And if you're going to go and believe, then don't be a believing believer. If you aren't going to believe, I don't want you to believe, said the devil, says your old nature. But if you're going to go and believe, then don't be a believing believer and enjoy it. Don't do that to enjoy. So therefore the system was there, Gnosticism, all of that we mentioned. And what are you saying? Well, you have an old nature. That's right. And so what are we saying? Well, we're spirit, religious, religions, spirit. We're spirit, we're religious. Well, be religious, but you're also fleshly. So what are we going to say? Well, exercise your religion and live in the body. Live any old way you please. It's your body. Your body has all kinds of needs. You live in a world. The flesh wants to do and be and have in this world. Do it. And you can still be saved. Just be religious. Look to God, religion, and then be other stuff. And then they go the other way, another way of doing it, antinomianism, no law. And therefore the law, you don't want to have to keep the law. Who has the law? What is the law anyway? So we don't need, we can be lawless. We have to be governed by the law. So we got all of that plus so much more and out there, and you're having to overcome that. So in chapter 3, as we read in verse 2 and 3, God, what do you want? You want us to be looking for your appearing, the end, chapter 3, chapter 2, and verse 28. We're looking for your appearing, chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. We're looking to what? We're going to be like you. God, we're your children. You're the Father, and we're going to be like you. We're going to be like you, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is going to appear, verse 2, we're going to be like him in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. We're going to be like him. Wow, all of that. Now, what's it again? You're trying to go and say you need what? You need to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person in a very personal way. So therefore, this relationship we have to God needs to be enjoyed. Now, keep in mind, if you would, and when you say that, now God, here's us humans, and we need to know him as our Savior in a wonderful way. Now, in order to get that across a little better, maybe, go with me, please, over to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. And in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7, and you will note, picking up if I may, may I go to verse 15, chapter 7, in light of the context. 7 and 15, Matthew. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In other words, people come with all, that's what we just illustrated, the Gnostics, the anti, against the law, you need to just do what you want, and you can still be fine with your religion, with God, and be do what you want. So all of those things are there to help us. To what? All of it keeps us from ever enjoying God, because God's rather specific. How so? Chapter 7. And if I can, verse 16. In the light of sheep, wolves and sheep's clothing. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 16, 18. A good tree cannot underline. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Whatever the tree is, it is. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you'll know them, the wolf and the sheep's clothing. What's down inside the heart? What's underneath that covering? What's underneath all those thoughts you have? What's the background? So therefore, in one other place where you're over here, the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12. And you'll catch it, chapter 12, and you'll go verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruits corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. That's how you know what the tree is, by the fruit. Now, illustration which we did and have done. So, here's the tree. And the tree is there. Now, I can illustrate the part you read, that a dead tree that's dead has no life, and that's like these dead tree. These are all dead. Now I can take these anywhere. I can go anywhere with dead wood. But now, and I would like to show you the opposite, a living tree. But you know what? Not one tree cooperated. I looked outside, and not one tree would cooperate with me. They don't move. I talked to the branch. I said, I just want a little branch. And the branch said, nothing doing. The branch is attached in order to have life. It must stay attached. It must abide. The branch will never, never, never leave that tree relationship. It's abiding. So all I can do is take you out and show you the tree and show you the branch. But I can't stop its life. It is totally there, and it refuses to fall to the ground and be dead. Well, the branch says, I'm not moving for anybody. It's my life. How much life do you have, branch? This is in a state of death. The branch is in a state of life. There's no middle ground. Do you understand? There's nothing in between. There's not my kind of, this part's life and this part's dead. There isn't no such thing. You either is alive or you is dead spiritually. There is no such thing. There is no one. Hang on, because that's what we try to live, two worlds. We try to be a Christian, try to believe, try to enjoy God, In the same breath, the whole world says, don't enjoy God, as we introduced and talked about it. Now, in order to see that a little better, to keep that in mind, back over to Deuteronomy, which you read. And in Deuteronomy, and in chapter 30, and sliding as you read, notice please, verse 18. I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth, said God, to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I'm telling you what to do. Here's the three, here's the poison, and here's the good guy. Here's all the bad. I tell you to choose using the glass of water. I tell you to drink it. Don't drink this other stuff. Don't do it. I'm telling you, it's there. And I'm going to tell you what to do. Don't do that. Do this. I tell you what to do. So, here's the tree. Here we are. Here we are, dead wood. God said, I want you to have life. That's what I want. That's a whole ball game. It isn't to get to heaven. It's for God to do some wonderful work in your heart here and now, right now, to give you life. He doesn't want you to be dead. That's how you get saved. That's what is being saved. And remember, we did this in Sunday school and all that. You were born this way. You never had an experience of knowing God as your Savior, knowing God in a personal way. We never had it. So when we look at each other, all we do is talk about dead things, because that's all we know. And we can be very religious up to our eyeballs in deadness. Religion up to here. We can do it. Now, God, you're trying to help us understand what? There is no middle ground. Choose. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For reason, he is thy life. Yeah. You got to abide, the branch has to abide. The branch has to abide in the tree, in the vine, for life. It has none apart from it. So what are you going to say? God says, choose life. And verse 20 again, that thou mayest obey the voice of his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and not only life, how long? The length of thy days. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what does he do? He gives you eternal life. What are you telling the people of Israel? You need to choose God to have life. And that relationship never ends. If you keep God and your relationship to God, it never ends. That's why you don't die. You die physically, that's all. That's all you can do. There is no other. Not now. And therefore, the length of thy days. Why? That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord, which thou swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, back over, if you would please, to 1 John. Back over to 1 John and chapter 3. Now, we've got that a little bit. So, what do we know? Well, here's the one thing that will help us. The law was given, L-A-W, to Israel because they didn't believe the promise and didn't come by faith. They were going to come by works. That's how they're going to do it. So, if you're going to do it by works, then the law The law says you can't get saved that way. So therefore, what are we going to do? God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, etc. He gave it. And what's the law going to do? It's going to be a discipline for you, a schoolmaster to teach you. What's it going to teach you? It's going to teach you in the fact that you have to look to God and that you ought to do the law. You ought to do the law. You ought to do right, not wrong. That's what you ought to know. What's the second thing the school teaches us? It teaches us what? Well, A, we ought to do it. And B, we haven't done it. So here's the Ten Commandments. God said, if I was in the flesh like our Lord, are you going to commit adultery, Lord? No. Are you going to steal? No. You go, no. No. I have to keep the law. Rightness. I ought to. Now, what are we going to say? Well, second thing the law teaches us, that we haven't kept the law. We can't keep the law. Third thing, we can't keep it. It's impossible to do it. We can't do it. So therefore, chapter 3, God, what are you going to say? You're going to drive home the point. You can't, there is no middle ground between a branch abiding and a branch dead. You're either dead or alive. You can't be both. You can't be. You're either saved or you're not saved. I didn't say religious. I didn't say doing reading the Bible. You could even be a preacher. I'm not saying that. You're either alive or you're dead. Period. No matter who, no matter where. Now, having said that, chapter 3, verse 4. And verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what are you going to do? God's going to drive home the point that you can't miss it. You cannot, there is no middle ground. Don't keep trying to listen to people and listen to yourself. There's some way I can be at a halfway house and somehow have this and have that and have everything. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen, not in this life or the next one. Therefore, John chapter 3, 1 John 3, verse 4, and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin, present tense, whosoever is committing sin at the habit of life, just the way it's doing, they're sinners, old sin nature. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth the law. In the process, and the transgresseth the law is one word, lawlessness. Transgress the law, one word, lawlessness. So, therefore, whosoever is committing sin, transgresseth the law, is lawless. Law, that means there is no law. You have to, why, what's sin? The absence of the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. You broke the law. That's what you did. It's lawlessness. Easy. That's what sin is. Sin is you aren't keeping the what? The law. The law. You ought to understand that. Now, what do I know about the law? The law. Law. So in the process, so habitually, if we habitually do that, then we aren't abiding. We're dead. As simple as that, God said. And what do you mean, being dead? Well, you're going to be lawless. Lawlessness. What's lawlessness? The absence of rightness. What is raw, the law? The rightness. The absence of right. Wrong is the absence of right. You're wrong. That's what you're doing. You're lifeless. There is no middle ground. You're either in or out. That's wonderful. Why? God is trying to drive home the point. Please, would you understand, when you receive me as your Savior, I have come to give you life. I'm not trying to debate and dialogue and try to compete. I'm not competing with your old nature. I'm not competing with the world system. I'm not competing with religion. I'm not competing. It's no contest. I want you to know I want you to enjoy my presence, period. I want you to be like the branch and abide and just do it, because you're no more dead wood. Please don't try to be dead wood when I made you alive. Hang on, a lot to it. You'll see it. So in the word, sin is lawlessness. And therefore, we're looking to God, God's long suffering, in God's wonderful, wonderful way to help us in every way to trust Him. So, having said that, and in light of all of that, doing that, sin, lawlessness is sin. So, picking up if I can, in chapter 3 and verse 4, keeping in mind lawlessness, and remember Deuteronomy without turning back there, 27 and the end of verse 27, 26, God said, cursed are you, cursed, not blessed, cursed are you if you don't keep all the law. You offend in one point, James 2, you're guilty of all. Like the mountain we use 100 times, the plane misses the mountain by 1 foot. It doesn't make any difference. It crashes. Whether it's halfway up the mountain or the top of the mountain, the plane crashes. One sin will keep you. One sin. Now, God, what did you do? You died for how many? From day one to the day of your death, Christ died for every thought, word, and deed you could ever have in your life. And when he died to save you in a most wonderful way and saved you on Calvary's cross. He forgave all your sin. So all you do is what? What are you telling us, God? I'm trying to help you understand. I crucified. I paid the penalty. I've made it all possible for you to have a very direct, personal, eternal, safe, the weather won't hurt the tree, winter, spring, summer, bugs, it just abides. We shared it in Psalm number 1, etc. Jeremiah 17, a tree planted by the rivers of life, and you never worry about famine or anything. You just stay focused, locked on. There's no middle ground. You're saved. I want you to know, you're thinking the whole world is trying to play. They're trying to play with the dead wood to make it life. You can't do it. And when I died, you received me as your Savior. I gave your life. Wonderful, wonderful life. Where is that life? God said in my marvelous person, when you receive me, I am your life. I am your length of days. I am your light. I am your light. God said, if there's any problems, everything is going to have to come to me, because I am the totality of all that you are to know, and everything you're to know, and all that you're to experience. I am the centerpiece for you to have it now and when I come and forever. What are we looking for, as we read in 1 John? You're looking for your appearing. That's right. John 1 and 1 John 1, 20, chapter 2, verse 28. You're looking for your appearing. To what? To be like you. We become children. When we became children, we all did the stuff. And we did it. We all grew up. We all wanted to grow up. The 4-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old. We all want to become adult. So when we get, that's true. We finish the job now. So what are we doing, us humans? You want to be saved. You become a child of God. Grow up. You haven't grown up yet. I've been saved for 10 years. Good for you. Nothing wrong with that. Good. Good. How much have you grown? How much have you grown? Grown up? 10 years? Been a believer 10 years. Well, how much have you grown? How much have you grown? You see, I'm to grow up. God, we're growing up. 1 Timothy 4, for Ephesians 4. We're growing up. That's what we're doing. Then God said, concentrate on your relationship to me that you can enjoy and exercise all the life around you and in you. The way you're going to handle your old nature is by having a relationship. Exercise your relationship to me, and I will help you. So all your thing, you know the difference, then what you're going to abide. That's what you're going to do. You're going to abide. And what are you going to do then? Like in the Old Testament, you tried to help us understand the law, and you did. And then understanding the law, what? Well, don't eat this, eat this. Don't eat this, do. Wear this, don't wear this. Do, don't. That's the law. What are you trying to teach me about the law? The law is different than your old nature, and you have to learn it. Now, that was true for Israel. But when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, what happens, God, in your most wonderful grace, you save us. So here we are living, eating, and drinking, and doing that. And what are we to do? Well, we're in the world. That's right. And we know the difference. There's difference. This thing's food we don't eat. And what are you telling us, God? How are we going to live in the world with do and don't, do and don't? Well, you do live in the world with do and don't. The branch is abiding in the tree. It's resting in the tree. And it just enjoys the life of the tree. And the life of the tree, the branch of the tree isn't interested in joining these guys. It isn't interested in joining them. Not interested, no, it's free. Now, how am I going to live like that? Well, you live in the same body. Remember, say, you got an old nature, go enjoy it. No, I know the difference. So what are you doing, God? We ought, and we know what we ought not to do, and we don't do it. Why? Because I'm abiding, I'm a believer. God has got me to see the right and wrong, and so we don't do that. We don't do that and the wrong things in the wrong way. We already know them. So what are we going to do? Well, we have to eat. Sure we do. We have to do work. Sure we do. That's right. And whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it as unto the glory of God. That's what you do. Eat. God never said not to eat. You have to live in the body. Just don't behave yourself because you're attached to the tree. And don't do the wrong stuff. You have to do all the things. You have to do them. Whatever you do, do it as unto me. God didn't say didn't do it, but do it as unto me. Just go do it and enjoy it. That's what to do. I didn't tell you not to die. You got an old nature and you're in a body. So live with it. But keep abiding. Keep abiding. Keep your relationship with God. When temptation comes up and things, when it comes up, and the Spirit of God is going to convict you and help you to get through it. So I don't have to do the dumb things. People want to do what they do. They do it. But I don't have to do it. I can do the same thing. I can go to work at Joe's sweatshop, I go someplace. I can go do that. I can do it just like you do. I do it. I punch everything, do like I'm supposed to do, get paid. Yep. I don't have to go and be a pain in the neck out there. I certainly can act right. I certainly can do the job right. I'm a believer. I behave myself. I'm abiding. Keep on abiding. That's what you do. You're enjoying God's wonderful person. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You either are enjoying it or you're not. That's all. And behave yourself. You know how to behave. You know that robbing the bank isn't good, even though that big pile of money looks like it'd be good to take home, but don't take it home. Understand? There's no big deal about it. You know, well, no one's looking. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The money's all marked. Then we don't get caught. Not the idea. So what are we doing, God? Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, picking up, if I may. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to help us. So therefore, chapter 3 and in verse 5, the law, sin is lawlessness, as simple as that. And right, the law is rightness. And we know, and you know, that we are men of, verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. And you know, what are you knowing? That he was manifested, made public, clear, plain, to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. So that's what Christ did. Christ did, died on the cross. He died on the cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to, hold your finger, over to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, keeping in mind, God tells us, listen, there's no middle ground. Christ died. He isn't playing games with it. He died to make it wonderfully, wonderfully simple. He's given you a wonderful relationship to God. The relationship to God is based on his wonderful person and presence. Then exercise it. God doesn't change. We're in his presence. God isn't changing one whit. He isn't worried about anything. He isn't fretting about anything. He isn't discouraged about anything. He isn't too busy. If he gets too busy, he can't count the hairs on your head. You understand? God said, I'm not that busy. My father used to say that to me years ago when I tried to tell him to trust God and I looked to God. He said, no, he's too busy. He's too busy. He's too busy. I said, God's never busy. If you were the, God sees you as if you were the only one in the world and he died for you. And God, in his awesome person, can see every single 8 billion plus of us just like that. That's awesome. You say, oh, I can't. Yeah. There are, I'll give up, I mean, yes, they can't fight me. There's 10 trillion, galaxies. And billions and billions and billions of stars, and God names them all. God knows the dust and weighs it in the universe in his hand. God, you are something else. You bet he is. You bet he is. And God says, listen, I'm trying to help you. There's no middle ground. You're trying to live two lives. You don't have two lives. You have my life. I ended yours on Calvary's cross. So live it. So therefore, Romans 10, the law, the righteousness of the law. Chapter 10, as you would know, chapter 10, verse 3. I'll read verse 2. For I bear them record, that is Israel. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He answers the law. The law says you're lawless, but he wants you to abide. When you abide, you've answered the law. You've answered it. Again, over to chapter 8, chapter 7. Chapter 7. And when we come to Romans 6, Romans chapter 7, and we come to the chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me dwelleth, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Like a good tree and a bad tree, fruit, no fruit. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I do the bad stuff. I don't mean to do the bad stuff, but I do the bad stuff. That's what I do. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to rescue me? Who's going to help me? How am I going to get free from this old nature that keeps interfering with my relationship to God? Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't want to do the old nature dominates. I can't beat it. No, you can't. You need God's wonderful grace to have it happen, the Spirit of God. So back down to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I got a problem. I got a problem with the law. Says law. Law. Sin is what? Lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. It's the absence of law. And therefore, Paul says, listen, I serve that dumb law. The law can't save me. It only condemns me and tells me I need to get saved. That's what the law does. Therefore, Paul, did you discover the answer? Yes, I did. Verse 20, chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then, with the mind, my thought, my brain, all that I'm trying to absorb and understand, so that with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I know there's a difference between the branch abiding and staying there, and it can't sin as long as it abides. It can't. Can't do it. It's abiding. Why can't it sin? Because Christ died for how many sins? He died for all your sins. You can't sin. That's what he's going to say. You can't sin. What do you mean you can't sin? There's no way to abide and have sin. That doesn't mean your old nature doesn't exist. That doesn't mean you don't have the problems. It doesn't say that. It just says you can't be enjoying your old nature while you enjoy your new one. You can't do both. You have to do one or the other. So therefore, what's the answer? The answer, the law. The law is transgression. Law is the transgression of the law, which is sinlessness, sin. Therefore, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, underline in your mind, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And think of what we did in Sunday school a little bit. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make real and practical and profitable the reality of the tree, the branch enjoying the tree feeding the branch, abiding in the branch. So what are you saying, God? I want you to know Christ. When you received him as your Savior, he became your life. He became everything to you. He is your life. He is, you are now a child of God. You're a son in the Son of God. You belong to the family. You belong to the God in a most wonderful way. And therefore, back over if I can, keep that in mind, over to 1 John and chapter 3. And chapter 3, verse 5, Christ died on the cross. Verse 6, whosoever is abiding in him sinneth not. Simple. Present tense. As long as the branch is there, the branch isn't mine. The branch isn't any dead anymore. The branch is full of life. As long as it stays attached, it's just full of life. And if it chooses to separate, and without you know all this, 1 John 1, you don't have to turn there, 1 John 1, 8 and 10, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. So we do have an old nature. But the old nature isn't the issue. Christ died and says, reckon it dead. Reckon your old nature dead. So you what? Can enjoy life. Enjoy life. And verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not. In other words, what aren't you doing? You're not sinning if you abide. Simple as that. You're abiding. Otherwise, your old nature's winning. Simple as that. Simple. If I want to abide, my old nature doesn't win. I'm going to abide. So therefore, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, but whosoever sinneth, who's ever sinning, hath not seen him, perfect, perfect, you've never seen him, and neither you haven't perfect, you haven't known him. You haven't seen him, haven't known him. You're unsaved. You're unsaved. That's all. Simple, like we said in the beginning. You're either saved or you're not. Now, I didn't ask you about religion or anything. Just ask, do you know the Lord as your Savior or don't you? Either you do or you don't. So, well, no, no, no. You need to know him and honor him and enjoy him. That's all. Isn't that wonderful? What happens if I say, well, that no, it's a big struggle. I sure hope you'll win this today. I sure hope you can enjoy God sometime this week. I sure hope you get some help sometime. You got help all the time. When don't you have help? When don't you have life? When don't you? You do. Always. Abide, like the branch. And next, that's what God said. Except you abide in me, John 15 and 5. Except you abide in me and I abide in you. Without me, you can do. What was the word? Nothing. What do you think nothing means? Nothing means nothing. It ain't going to work. Sorry? It doesn't work. It's a simple, wonderful truth that very rarely is understood by believers. We're busy trying to play the something game. And we don't enjoy. God has delivered you, rescued you. For real. And God's trying to drive home the point. You got an old nature. It ain't going to go away. So what to do is just live with the dumb thing till you die. That's what you do. And thank God you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. What do you think that meant, John, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17? All things have become new. Not everything. Yeah. Well, some things become new. No. All things become new. Your whole new life, starting the moment you receive me, I want you to outlive it. That's all I want you to do. You're going to get tied up in everything except your awesome relationship to God. And that's what God's looking for. God's looking for you. We didn't get very far. I didn't do much, but understand a little. I'm trying to get you to understand there is no middle ground. You're either this, attached to the tree, or you're this. And that's what God says. There is no middle. You've got a wonderful life. You also have an old nature. The old nature, reject. Nope, I'm not going to. The old nature, I reckon myself dead. You're dead. Christ crucified you. I'm done with you. I know you're here. I know you're here. I know you're here. But I'm going to abide. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you very much for a wonderful life, a wonderful relationship. I don't understand it, God. I'm too stupid to understand anything yet. But God, it's a wonderful thing. So in my stupidity, I'm going to enjoy your wonderful saving grace. That's what I'm going to do, God. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you very much, God. Got to quit. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that we can choose to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve, God. Thank you very much for saving us. Thank you, God, trying to help us. Spirit of God, I do thank you. We're trying to get across, God. Some people get it all mixed up. The sin, we don't sin, all this. And God, They lose out on the wonderful benefit that you've terminated, fixed things, so that we walk in the light as Yahweh and in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And all the sin is always there, God, but you've taken care of it on Calvary's cross. So therefore, we reckon, we calculate our unique relationship that you have made possible by way of your Son to know you and honor you. So God, here we are. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.